So here we are in, it's the last part of chapter 28.
Yeah.
And, right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 4 at the bottom. And it's the page in the ordinary Tanya where it says 70 at the top. You see it says 70, the number 70.
70.
Yeah. So,
and is it from the top of the page?
Yes, yeah, we're beginning, we're actually beginning one word over on the previous, two words over on the previous page. Yeah. The point is here, a person, let's just get into the atmosphere of what Tanya is speaking about here. A person is trying to daven. And while they're davening, all kinds of negative, inappropriate thoughts are coming into their mind. And so the advice that Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the author of Tanya, has given is, look, just move your mind away from that and try to focus on the davening. You know, in other words, don't worry about it. Relates to what we were just speaking about. Because the person could suddenly start worrying, why am I getting this terrible thought in my mind at the moment that I'm supposed to be davening? It must show that my davening is worthless, right? That's the way we start attacking ourselves. See, that's the problem, attacking ourselves.
If you're concentrating on what you're learning, Dr. Langton, then you shouldn't really be thinking about anything else. I know it's hard, but I mean, if you're really into doing, you know what I mean? If you're there to daven, you should actually hopefully be there to daven, to say what you've got to say. Hopefully you shouldn't have everything else going around.
You know, Susan, you may have, you may be blessed with a very focused mind.
Well, this is how I see things, Dr. Langton.
See?
I'm straight.
And so therefore, whatever you're doing, at that moment, you're doing that as a whole person. You're completely involved in it.
Is that right?
And so when you, well, it's lovely. That's a wonderful blessing. See?
I've davened, and all of a sudden there was a noise outside. And what is it?
I don't mean that. I mean, sometimes
right,
yes, I've been somewhere and I'm talking, I may be thinking of something that I've got to do later or tomorrow. But hopefully, most people, if you go to daven, or hopefully you go to say basically what you're there for, and hopefully you're going to concentrate on what you've actually gone to do.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. There are people who are able to be, you know, they're like what they call dead to the world. You know, they're completely focused, oblivious to everything else. At this moment, they're davening, and that's it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the word Shema Yisrael, one of the ways of explaining Shema usually is translated here, listen. Hear, O Israel.
That's right.
Listen, Jewish people. But there is another word, a Hebrew word in Hebrew with the same letters, which means to gather together. And so what you're saying to yourself, you are Israel, you're saying Shema Yisrael, listen Israel, listen, I'm telling myself, gather yourself together, focus. On the idea that Hashem is our God and Hashem is one. So Shema could there be translated as focus, gathered together and focused. Now imagine if a person's really focused when they daven, so then this is something wonderful. So whatever disturbs, you know, might be disturbing outside, a noise outside in the street, or the phone ringing, you know.
Not
on
with
a
Shema, one shouldn't never be disturbed with
that's
a Shema.
That's right, yes, you're absolutely right. Yes, you've got to avoid. I mean, the Talmud talks about a person who was davening the Shmona Esrim, and a snake came along and bit him, bit his foot, and he didn't notice. And the snake died.
That's a good one. The snake died.
He was so focused on his prayer. He didn't notice the snake coming. He didn't notice the snake curling around his foot. And he didn't notice the snake biting. And then when he finished davening, there was this dead snake on the floor.
He was so into what he was doing. That's what I was saying.
So it's a story which is telling us that if we're doing the right thing with a completely focused mind, you know, don't worry about what is happening all around you.
Yeah. It's like when I go to work, I mean, when I get into the department on the floor, I have to switch off what's outside. I have to concentrate, focus on my department. I have to focus on my customers.
It's interesting. I was thinking of your work. You have a very, very focused kind of job.
I do customer services. I have to be with customers. I have to relate to them when they're queries. I have to take all the feedback from that and everything. And when I go in cashiering, when I go in, I can't worry about what I've got to pick up tonight or where I'm going tonight or what, or got to get something from.
You've got to be all there.
Yeah, I've got to switch off, and I've got, as I walk onto the shop floor, I have to be focused on what I'm here.
You know what, Susan? That's wonderful training for davening.
Mm. Mm. Yes, I don't know. Yes.
Because the same way that you are all focused in your job, so when it comes to davening, you can be all focused in davening or learning. At that moment, you're completely focused on what you're doing. Now, that's a tremendous blessing, because many people are not able to do that, and they are scattered. And Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the Alter Rebbe in Tanya, he's talking to people who very often are very scattered, and he's saying that they attack themselves, and they say, my davening is worthless, because in the very middle of the davening, I suddenly began thinking about this and this, and I suddenly found myself thinking about it. Mm. Right? So, now. So, the person thinks wrongly that their davening is worthless. And then he says the following things. The last two words on the previous page, which has Lamed Hay at the top. For her emes hoya kedivreyem. In a sense, they would be right. Now we're at the top of our page. If there was just one soul, he amis paleles, the one soul is praying, is davening, and the same soul is thinking these irrelevant or inappropriate thoughts. But the point is, it's not one soul. You know, if it was one soul that's thinking this, and then it's thinking that, and it's doing this, and then it's doing the opposite, so you'd say, wait a minute, this seems very mixed up. But one of the basic teachings in Tanya is that it's not just one soul. We have a divine soul, but we also have an animal soul. And there's that animal soul which is all the time looking at this and trying to find that. It's a little bit like a person walking along in the street with a dog on the end of a lead. And the dog suddenly starts pulling this way and that way and starts fighting with another dog. And so you've got to try and deal with this dog. So that is the nature of the person. And it could well be that just because the person is davening so beautifully with their divine soul, this is what he said earlier, that the animal soul tries to put up a fight and make something negative to disturb his concentration. So, avu be'emes la'mitoi, second line on this page, but in fact, third line now, hein shtei nefoshes, they are two souls, hanilchomos zu im zu b'moichos shel odem, and they are fighting one with the other inside the mind of each person. Kol achas, each one of these souls, cheftze v'rotzoyno, its desire, its wish, is limshol boy, is to control the person's mind. V'liyois ha'moyach mumul mimena, and that the mind should be filled with it, levada alone. So, the divine soul wants to be the complete mistress of the person's mind, but so does the animal soul. All the thoughts of Torah and fear of heaven and being connected with Hashem, that is all minefesh elokis, from the divine soul. And all worldly things, things to do with ordinary life, with cooking and shopping and whatever it might be, they are, and monetary matters and having had an argument with someone, all those things are minefesh abahamis, from the animal soul. Rak she'elokis milubeshes ba. The only thing is, the animal soul and the divine soul are not completely separate. The divine soul is inside the animal soul, and therefore the animal soul, the divine soul has to work through the animal soul, because it's the animal soul which actually is running the body. So the divine soul, in order to get the body to do something, has to, as it were, make the animal soul as well activate the physical self of the person. So the divine soul is not just somewhere ethereal, it's there inside us, and so there's always this kind of interaction going on, and however inspiring something might be, there may be some kind of intrusion of the animal soul, or the body feels tired or uncomfortable or hungry or something like that. Now, in fact, we can get, I mean, using this word inspired, we can get so inspired that we don't think of whether it's comfortable or not comfortable, or whether we're hungry or whether we're tired or anything like that. We just don't think of our physical self at all. And the animal soul also does not have any power. And that's a very beautiful thing. And that can happen at certain situations. And it's a lovely thing if it happens during davening, that the davening becomes so meaningful and so beautiful that at that moment the person is really carried away. They're absolutely in another spiritual realm. And we do have that capability. It is part of the possibility of an individual that whenever they daven, they could, for a little while or a few moments sometimes or a little bit longer, they can enter into a completely different realm. So,
but can they enter into it all the time throughout that service?
Oh, that's a very good point.
Or can they also stray for a moment to the person next to them?
Well, you see, sometimes a person, I was once told by an old chassid, he's in the other world now, he said, the main thing is, when you're davening, to say a few words that you really mean, like a few words with sincerity.
Mm.
And sometimes, you know, so you're distracted this way, or you're not really paying attention, then you start putting in a little bit of effort and you say a few words, and the few words are there, you know, and then the person next to you asks you where the place is,
and you
help them. Well, yeah, you know, sometimes
that's
exactly what you have to do at that moment.
Yeah.
There's a story about a very great chassid who lived 100 years ago, and he lived in the town of Lubavitch, and there was a yeshiva there, the first Lubavitch yeshiva. And like as an organized yeshiva with a dormitory and a kitchen, you know, that kind of like boarding school kind of yeshiva. Yeah. There were yeshivas earlier, but this was like the modern kind of yeshiva. And he was in the middle of saying the Shema. And this was a very, very great man. He was called Reb Michael de Alta, the old Reb Michael. He was like, and he used to inspire the boys in yeshiva in a most tremendous way. Anyway, he was davening and he was saying the Shema, which is such a deep thing. It was winter in Russia. And as he's saying the Shema, he suddenly notices, he sees this boy, one of the boys in yeshiva, and his shoes are torn. He hasn't got proper shoes in the Russian winter. And I've been to Lubavitch. I mean, there would have been thick snow on the ground. And this poor boy didn't have proper shoes. And as he's in this deep davening, it's not a davening which takes him away from the soul of another person, the neshama of another person. Because he is in this sort of luminous world, very close to Hashem in certain ways, he feels the importance and the love which is needed for everyone else. And at that moment, he sees that this poor boy, 14, 15 years old, doesn't have proper shoes. And he looks and he sees, like a businessman who is a little bit more well off than the other people, he clicks his fingers and attracts the businessman's attention. And he points to the boy's shoes, and the businessman understood. I understand what you mean, Reb Michael. You want me to buy him some shoes? Yes. You know, and he goes back to his davening.
That's a nice story, just for that one moment. But I mean, if he hadn't have looked that way, maybe if he hadn't have looked that way and actually seen him,
He wouldn't have known.
He wouldn't have known any different.
So it's being run by Hashem. It's being controlled by Hashem that he happened to notice that
issue. As I said, just at that moment, something told him is just to look that way. He was just said something, just said clicked, and kind of said, "Yeah, happened to look that way." But something told him that is to look that way.
Well, you see, very often the things that we see are being directed by Hashem. Yeah. That at that moment you notice a certain thing, and that makes you realize this or that.
Yeah.
There's a story about Rashi.
Yeah, I've done that myself.
Rashi, the great commentator on the Torah. When he's commenting on a certain garment that the Kohanim, that the high priest would wear, and he says, in order to explain what this is, it's like a certain kind of garment that the noble ladies wear when they're riding. Now, it's an intriguing comment to compare the clothing of the high priest to the clothing, a particular kind of cape that a noble lady in France in 1100 would wear when she was riding. And the story goes that Rashi was walking along and suddenly there was this noble woman riding past on a horse. And he noticed what she was wearing. And he wondered to himself, why did I notice it? You know, why, you know, that's, there's so many things he could be thinking about. Why did I notice that she's wearing this particular cape? Ah! Because the garment of the high priest is similar to that. Like a kind of cape, apron, you know. And he realized that he had seen this because there was some meaning in it that he had to act on, and in fact, what he did was he wrote it into his commentary on the Torah to explain what this garment of the high priest is like. And other people who've seen this kind of riding cape or riding apron, they know what it is. They know. So that's the thing, to be aware that whatever catches our eyes might be something that we have to act on. Sometimes what it is something we just have to look away from. But sometimes we have to do something about it.
Yeah.
And so that's the so let's go back to the person who's being disturbed. Unfortunately, he's being disturbed by these problematic thoughts which are running round and round in his mind, and the Alter Rebbe gives an intriguing image to describe this. V'hul k'moshel, this can be compared to a man hamispalel b'kavono. He's standing praying with real sincerity and focused on what he's saying. Va'oimed lenegdoi, and they're standing near him, oived gululim rosha, an idolater, a wicked man, umasiach umadabe imoy, who is speaking to him, kedei levalbeloi, in order to confuse him. There's a man there that while this person is davening, there's someone else trying to make fun of him, trying to disturb him. You know the way children do when they go to Buckingham Palace and they see the guards outside Buckingham Palace standing so immobile and so people keep trying to make jokes and different things.
And they look
And they have to never stand there the whole day.
Especially in the heat. Can you
that's
imagine?
Right.
That's heat with all that on.
Yeah. Yeah. Now imagine, so a person is davening and someone else is trying to disturb them. So what should one do? Shezois ad soso bevadai. This is the good counsel, certainly. Shalola hoshiv loy mitoy vadra. Don't answer him. Not something good and not something bad. Ignore him. Vela sois atzmoy kecheresh lo yishma. Make oneself like a, God forbid, as if one were deaf and doesn't hear a thing. Ulakai masha kosov, and keep the verse which is written in the Tanakh, in the Bible. Al ta'an k'sil be'evaltoi, don't answer a fool in his foolishness. Pen teshave loy gamata, because if you do, you might become like him. So in other words, just ignore it. Ignore it. Someone says something stupid, doesn't mean you have to respond. Just
the
keep
more, the more you respond, the more they will go on about it.
That's right.
If you let it, just let it
love. Well, not only that, it can drag you down to their level.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
So you just pretend you didn't hear. Kach al yoshiv ma'uma. So in the same way, don't reply a word. V'shum taina. Now he's talking here, not about someone else standing there but and trying to muddle you up, but inside yourself, inside ourselves, our own mind, our own animal soul, presenting this idea and that idea, and you've got to worry about what's going to happen this evening, otherwise this and that. And don't worry about it. Al Yoshiv Mu'uma, don't give any answers, v'shum taina umana, not a single response, negada machshava zara, to this inappropriate thought that's come into your mind. Ki ha misabik im manuvel misnavel. He's quoting another verse, another idea. Someone who wrestles with someone dirty gets dirty gamken himself. He also gets dirty. So in other words, don't, someone's covered with mud and you're trying to wrestle with that person, so you get some mud on your own nice clean clothes yourself. Rak yase atzmoi kelo yodeya, make yourself as if you don't know, v'loy shomea, and you don't hear, ha-hihurim, shenoflalo, these thoughts which are falling into one's mind, whatever they're about, ignore. V'yisire midaitoi, move them out of your consciousness. And the Rebbe explains quite a lot of letters to people who write to him, who worry about these inappropriate thoughts during davening. He said, focus on the words of the prayer in the siddur. Daven from a siddur, focus on the words. See the beautiful holiness of the words. V'yosef oimetz, and put in a bit more effort, b'koyach kavanosai, with the power of your concentration. And that's what you should do. In other words, work in a positive way, trying to daven. Now what happens if these thoughts, whatever they are really dragging at the person and they just can't stop thinking that negative thing? V'im yaksha loyla hosirim idaitoi, if it's difficult for you to remove them from your mind, mipnesha toiridim daitoi ma'oid, because they are really, really compelling thoughts which really do occupy one's mind and it's very hard to get rid of them. B'chodzka, very forcefully they are forcing themselves on us. You know what you can do? In the middle of your davening, you can daven to Hashem about this problem. Azay yashpil nafshoy l'Hashem, then cast down your soul before Hashem, as if you're bowing, lying prostrate on the ground in front of Hashem, v'yischanin loy, and ask Hashem, yisporach, may be blessed, b'machshavtoy, in your thought, v'rachim olof, please Hashem, have mercy on me, don't let me be attacked by these horrible thoughts, or whatever they are. They might not be horrible in themselves, but now davening, they are completely taking my mind off what is happening. Berachimov hamarubim, with your great mercy, kerachimov albonim, like a father having mercy for his children, hanim shochim imoichoy, the children come from the mind of the father. That's one of the things it mentions earlier in Tanya, and so we come from Hashem, and so have mercy on us. V'kocho, and in that way, the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, is giving us a bracha. He's telling us what's going to happen. In that way, Yirachim Hashem al Nafshoi, Hashem will have mercy on our souls, because indeed, Hanim Sheches Me'ito Yisborach, our soul comes from Hashem Yisborach. So it's a part of Hashem, and Hashem looks down and sees the way we're struggling. Our divine soul is struggling with the animal soul all around it, trying to present all these ridiculous and inappropriate things to think about. And so therefore Hashem has mercy on us, lahatzila mimaim hazedoinim, in order to save our soul from these stormy waters. Ulamaino Yase, and really, says Rabbi Shneur Zalman, Hashem will really do this for your sake. Ki chelek Hashem mamash amoy, because each member of the Jewish people is really, their soul is really a portion of Hashem, and so we can rely on this help that Hashem is going to give us. It's a most beautiful thought. Here is the Alter Rebbe, this great, great Rebbe, this great tzaddik, telling us that if we have this particular kind of problem, we can daven to Hashem, and Hashem will help us.
Hopefully. It's a nice thought. That is a nice thought. We hope. We like to think maybe that would be.
And indeed, in many, in everything, we are children of Hashem. And there is the love that comes from Hashem to us. And all we have to do is ask, and we will get the bracha. And we will be blessed.
Amen.
By
Amen.
Hashem.
Hopefully, lots of things. Amen. That is a nice thought, and it's a nice way. We hope so, don't we?
Amen.
Thank you.
One penny in the bag.